Constituents had questions about cuts to health care and SNAP.
We do not have unlimited money in the United States.
They also had questions about the release of the Epstein files, which Flood said he supported. Switzerland's president and other top officials are traveling to Washington in a hastily arranged trip aimed at striking a deal with the Trump administration over steep tariffs. The proposed tariffs have cast a pall over Swiss industries like chocolates and watchmaking. President Karen Keller Sutter is leading a delegation to the U.S. Capitol after last week's announcement that exports of Swiss goods to the U.S. will face a whopping 39% tariff starting Thursday. That is over 2.5 times higher than the rate on European Union goods exported to the U.S. For Pacifica Radio, I'm Teresa Wersbianska.
From August 3rd through the 16th, during our summer pledge drive, we present WPFW, 48 Years of Centering Blackness. We'll commemorate Black August and celebrate not only the freedom fighters, political prisoners, and those who have perished in the struggle for Black liberation, but also the scholars, musicians, and poets whose work has served the Black liberation struggle. There are forces working to erase the contributions and significance of Black people. Your contribution ensures that WPFW is not erased and that the voices of Black people throughout the diaspora continue to be platformed here. Donations can be made anytime at WPFWFM.org. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Get WPFW swag in your life? Items that say, I support jazz and justice without saying a word. We've got you covered. Details and browsing at WPFWFM.org. Again, that's WPFWFM.org.
The African American Music Association will honor Dr. Saleem Hilton for his community service and career in restorative justice, youth development, and entertainment on Thursday, August 7th, 5 to 9 p.m. at the Country Club at Woodmore, 12320 Pleasant Prospect, Mitchellville, Maryland. Details available by calling Beverly Lindsay Johnson at 202-552-0000.
Welcome to Heal DC. This is Joni, and that is one thing we try to do, and we do on WPFW, and that is giving more power to the people. Of course, you have the power. We just got to keep.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a rebroadcast. Again, this is a rebroadcast.
Of course, let me say, you know, that this is our first Monday of the pledge drive, and we have a goal of $650. We're going to be coming to you a few times during the hour, but you can be one of the first ones to make a pledge. Just call 202-588-9739 and make a pledge to Heal DC, make a pledge to your radio station. And Katia will be joining me soon, later on in the hour. But I'm extremely excited about our two guests this morning. We are going to be talking about Chris Smalls and his very inspiring return to this country, to New York's JFK Airport, right here where I happen to be right now in Queens, New York. And there was a very inspiring welcoming. We have two wonderful guests, Larry Hamm, who's been on this show quite a number of times, especially this year and recently. Larry Hamm with POP, People's Organization for Progress, does a lot of work in Newark and is from New Jersey. And he's going to have a lot to share as well. And I'm very excited to welcome and introduce someone who we haven't had on before, calling all the way from L.A., Baba Akili, an activist with Black Lives Matter and much, much more. And actually, I'm going to start by asking Baba Akili, welcome, and tell us, just introduce yourself a little better than I just did.
Well, good morning, Joni, and thank you so much for having me on. I'm Baba Akili. I'm the National Field Coordinator for Black Lives Matter's Grassroots. I'm the director of the Fannie Lou Hamer Institute and UCLA in the Labor Studies Department.
Oh, wow. We'll have to talk about Fannie Lou Hamer Institute. That's really amazing because we talk about Fannie Lou Hamer a lot. But listeners, I met Akili right there at the airport and was very thankful to meet him. And he's going to help walk us through, first of all, what it was like there. But, of course, Larry, welcome. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Joni, and good morning, Brother Baba Akili.
Good morning, Larry.
I'm going to ask Larry Hamm to start because, first of all, Larry, help tell our listeners who may not know who Chris Smalls is. Well, I'll kind of start out. Chris Smalls was really the lead person with his team about 5 years ago, organizing to get a union where there was no union at the Amazon. I went to some of the rallies. I worked with his team, and it was amazing to see him walk through those gates on Friday morning. But Larry, you can say it better than I can. Tell the listeners about what happened on Friday and the importance of Chris Smalls in general, but you can tell the listeners. You can start out and then Baba Akili will jump in.
Right. Well, just to set some context, I was introduced to Chris Smalls through a mutual friend, Jerry Chambers, who is an activist in Englewood, New Jersey, about 4 years ago. And that was the beginning of our relationship as activists. Chris was making a name for himself at that time. As you pointed out, Joni, he was in the midst of the organizing drive. He was trying to organize the workers at the Amazon plant in Staten Island. Chris is from Hackensack, New Jersey. And so Jerry thought it would do well for both of us if Chris came over and spoke at some POP activities. So we were having rallies at that time against police brutality. And Chris came over and, you know, spoke at the rally, talked about what he was doing, but also made a relationship between what he was doing and the struggles that we had in the community with regards to police brutality and other issues. We reciprocated by holding activities of People's Organization for Progress in support of his efforts to organize the workers there at the Amazon plant in Staten Island. So we initially knew him as someone who was standing up. He's a grassroots person, you know. He's like, you know, it's classic, like, you know, someone who's, you know, one day he's on, you know, in the plant with everybody else, and, you know, an incident happens that kind of, you know, sparks a change. And then before you know it, he's organizing workers and leading the effort to found that union and become its first president. So that's how we knew him, as someone who was standing up for labor rights. But then, as you know, and as the audience knows, there's been a genocidal war going on in Gaza that the Israeli government has been carrying out against the Palestinian people, a war of mass starvation, mass extinction, and a war of genocide. And so there have been these efforts to bring humanitarian aid, food, medicine, and other things to the suffering people of Gaza. And there was a ship that was on its way to Gaza. I believe the ship was called the Handala. It had 21 activists on it, including Chris. And that ship was illegally seized. It was an act of piracy on behalf of the Israeli government. They seized that ship in international waters, which was a violation of international law. Chris was singled out. According to the other activists, he was beaten by a group of Israeli soldiers and really brutalized and handled and separated from the rest of the activists for a time. So the word got out, people all over the world. Bob Akili way over there in L.A. I'm on the East Coast, he's on the West Coast. People all over the world, you know, brought the pressure to bear. And thank goodness the pressure was successful, and slowly but surely the activists were released. So Chris was on a plane. He wasn't permitted to return with other activists. They sent him, I believe he had to come out of Dubai, correct me if I'm wrong, on a separate plane. And we were there, you, including you, Joni, from D.C., people from Boston, Bob Akili from L.A., people all over the country, you know, were there. And it was phenomenal, as you said, when those gates opened and he came through. You know, Chris was beaten. He was brutalized. I didn't know what to expect, but it kind of reminded me of when Nelson Mandela was released from prison. Mm-hmm. You know, you thought after 25 years, he was going to be, you know, essentially broken down. And I thought Chris might be that same way, but Chris was standing upright, walking tall, came through those gates, dressed in all white, had his hands raised, his palms together in a gesture of peace. The crowd was going crazy. I don't even know how they got those drums into the
right. Drums the airport. And chanting and singing.
Right, chanting and singing and flags waving and people dancing. It was a cross between, you know, a celebration and a political rally. And when he came through those gates, the people embraced him, and it was an outpouring of love. I have to admit, I was overcome with emotion. There was a point where Bob Akili was trying to, you know, videotape me, and I started crying. We couldn't finish the video, you know, and I did get to shake Chris's hand and get to embrace him, as others did, as you and Bob Akili, and I'm sure you'll share your experience, you know. But it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. Chris, to me, and the other 20 activists on that boat represent the best in humanity. Here's the young man that was fighting for workers right here in his own area, in his state, New Jersey, metropolitan area, New Jersey, New York. And then, you know, just a few years later, he's 3,000 miles away trying to stand up for the human rights of the people of Palestine, Palestinian people. And it's just wonderful. I was glad that I could be there, and we have to carry on this fight. You know, we have to break these ties. In the same way we campaigned against South Africa,
right,
we need to campaign against the apartheid regime in Israel. Bishop Tutu said when he went to Israel, he said the apartheid that the Palestinians was experienced was worse than the apartheid that he and black people experienced in South Africa. That's what Bishop Tutu said. That's not what I'm saying. He said that. So that's my assessment.
Yes, and of course I was definitely crying too. it was. And we're going to explain to the listeners why it was so inspiring. You know, it wasn't just because Chris is a special person. There's more to it, which I'm going to mention, but I'm sure Baba Akili could add to it as well. So Baba Akili, share with us your experiences there on Friday, but why was it so important to us? I think it wasn't just celebrating one person, but I think what happened really is giving us more hope for fighting against this genocide that's going on. Chris, you know, it sometimes takes one person or one special event, but I think he has energized, and he will continue to inspire more people to get on board to stop this genocide. But tell us what you were thinking then and now about Chris Smalls' release and his actions.
Well, thank you, Joni. First, let me say that we met Chris in 2020, about 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. He came out to L.A., and Black Lives Matters has a weekly protest at that time, you know, and now against the district attorney, in large part because the district attorney was not prosecuting police and, of course, prosecuting people in the community, but not prosecuting the police. And so we were protesting that that particular district attorney. And as we have been doing now for every week on Wednesday, he came out. He heard about it. He came out. He introduced himself to us and was telling us what he was doing with the Amazon workers. And so we gave him a platform. We let him speak. It was 1,000 people out there. And he talked about what he was doing. And we kept in touch ever since. He's been in my class for the past 3 years. We have a relationship with him. And one of the things I want to raise is that Chris was one of the first people that came out in support of the people of Gaza, the Palestinians, and he urged his relationships within the labor movement to come out and support Palestinians. And so he was the first to do it. And so we felt here in Black Lives Matter grassroots, because he had been supportive of us, he had come out and he spoke at many of our rallies. We were a part of hosting a film that he was in. Mm-hmm. And it's somebody that we supported, that we admired and respected. And when we heard that he was kidnapped, Black Lives Matter's grassroots issued a statement. We mobilized people to call the State Department. We did everything we thought we could to make sure that Chris got back safely. And so when we heard that he was coming in, we felt that, you know, we should at least be there to greet him. I happened to be the one available. And because I knew him, Dr. Malina Abdullah, who is the national director of Black Lives Matter's grassroots, unfortunately had a funeral, and so she couldn't be here. And so I, because he had always been supportive of us, excuse me, we thought that we should have somebody there. And I was glad I was there. Larry, I think you captured the environment quite well. I was there early because I didn't know where to go. So I got to the airport early. All I knew was Terminal 8.
Yes.
I got to the airport early, and then I started seeing people, and I knew I was in the right place. We got a chance to connect with people. And the interesting thing for me, and Larry, you can see this, you remember this. First, there was a handful of us. Then there were more of us. Then there were more of us and more of us. And then you had, over 100, 200 people show up.
Absolutely.
And that was just, that was inspiring and moving. And then when he walked out, and how people just mobbed him and just hugged him. The other thing is I got a chance to talk very briefly with his mother.
Mm-hmm. And so did Larry.
and mm-hmm. and his brother, and you know, and the other the people that he worked with at Amazon,
right?
You know, so it was certainly a very emotional time. We were all glad to see him safe, and you know, he just kind of was absorbed by the people, you know, and I think that's an example of the kind of person Chris is. Chris is the new face of labor. seriously.
Yes,
one of the things that he talked with the students about is how do we make labor cool? And how do we talk about labor? And every class that he spoke to, they just really enjoyed him. They really liked him. And I'm glad that he's connected. The other thing is because I see him as the new face of labor, as the new face of the movement in many ways, I think that's another reason why we supported him. So I'm glad I could be there. I flew out Thursday night, got to New York about 1 o'clock, took a quick nap and came back. And so, yes. But I'm glad because I have this story to relive.
I've
told people about it. I've had a chance to reflect on it. And, you know, we shared our pictures that we took, posted them on our social medias and stuff. It was worth it. I'm glad I was there. I have great love and respect for Chris, and we'll support him any way we can.
Absolutely. And I must say, it was a miracle that I was there. I consider it a miracle. I was supposed to go to New York in a week or two from now, but destiny had it that I needed to change my plans and arrive at Queens. And I was talking to Larry because Chris was supposed to go to Newark. That was a little too far for me. At the last minute, he was coming to JFK, which was 20 minutes from where my family's apartment is. So I was able to go there. I strongly felt the ancestors, certainly my ancestors there. The energy there, it was so inspiring. I had worked with Chris's team that were doing the organizing 4 or 5 years ago. They were on PFW. And so when I got to Terminal 8, I couldn't figure out where to go. And I was able to call one of the young brothers that I knew from back then. And he told me how to take that escalator down. So it was just all extremely inspiring. And I must admit, even though I'm not going to say that Chris Smalls is directly similar to Nelson Mandela, but I also felt that moment. And I can remember when on WPFW, when Askia Mohammed was on the air, it was 6 o'clock, I believe, in the morning, and Nelson Mandela walked out of that jail. And it just, the whole world seemed like we were, you know, I was in tears then. But it reminded me of that time. It really did. The energy, yeah. The enthusiasm, the hope. Yeah. You know, because we need hope and we need inspiration. So we certainly had it there on Friday, and we're very thankful to share it with the listeners. There were some people from D.C. there, and you're going to hear a clip hopefully a little soon with some of those, the young sister that was there. But right now, hopefully Katia's on the phone with me, and we need to encourage you to make a pledge. This is the first Monday of the pledge drive. As you know, these are tough times for all of us, and definitely challenging for WPFW. Yes, we're not part of the NPR and the other stations that are going to be shut down because Trump is not. They're not going to pay the bills anymore. But we need to be supported. We need to be continuing to be able to be alive and well, and we only can do that with your help. 202-588-0893. I think we have some special thank you gifts, which if Katia is
I'm
able
right
to...
here, Joni.
Okay, welcome, Katia.
Welcome. Thank you for allowing me to be here with you today, and it's a very special day and a very special program, and we want to remind folks that they can pledge your support this morning to Heal DC. Again, the number to call 800-222-9739 or WPFWFM.org. We have something called our Black August Black Liberation Digipack. I think that is very in line with what you're doing today, Joni. And it's for a pledge of $150. And of course, not only do you have the voices over 50 hours long, not only do you have the voices of the Soledad brothers and George Jackson and Fred Hampton, but you also have liberatory thinkers and musicians and poets. Yes, indeed, like Amiri Baraka or Nikki Giovanni or June Jordan, of course, and tying June Jordan into Chris Smalls and her solidarity with Palestine. Toni Morrison is there and so many others. We have Sun Ra, we have John Coltrane as a part of that package. So for a pledge of $150, that gift can be yours. Again, the number to call, 800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org are the ways to connect.
Thank you, Katia. And I know, Katia, you had hoped you wanted to come to join us there at JFK Airport. Tell us why you would have liked to have been there.
Well, you know, Joni, I will say that, first of all, as we've heard now, Chris Smalls, if I could have been on the flotilla, I would have been on the flotilla. And that wasn't, you know, I mean, I would be on the flotilla right now. But that wasn't possible. But, you know, we have to support our brother. He's done so much. In, of course, unionizing First Union and Amazon and continuing with the work and doing what so many people have failed to do, which is linking that struggle with the Palestinian liberation struggle, linking that struggle with the Congolese liberation struggle or the Sudanese liberation struggle or the struggle for police accountability here at home. So many things. They're from the same root. And Chris Smalls did such a fantastic job. In addition, we were all very worried about him when we first heard that he was the only member of the flotilla to be beaten and choked by the IDF when they came on board. And he and an Algerian brother held in a different prison than the rest and released a day later. So we were very concerned about his safety. And it would have just been a joyful moment to be there. But Joni, you were there. You represented. You had a Fani with you and you did a beautiful interview with her, who is also part of the organizing instrument in Amazon with Chris Smalls. So PFW was well represented.
Yes, and we will continue to be well represented. I was in touch with some of Chris's team who I worked with 5 years ago, and they shared, and I think that Larry or Akili mentioned it, that there is a film that talks about that the Amazon comrades produced that includes Chris Smalls and tells the story. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to be able to, I'm going to say at some point, in the near future, share that with PFW. But we'll take it.
Have a screening. Yes. I wanted to take a moment to thank some folks, Joni, if I could, for your return. They say Marsha L., Washington, D.C. Thank you so much for that. And again, Timothy from Fairfax, Virginia, a new member. If we could ring the bell. I don't know if Robert has the bell handy, but he is a new member. So we have $540 to go, y'all. If we have three people picking up, I hope my math is correct. There are three people picking up that Black August Black Liberation Pack. And this is for everybody. It does not matter what your, you know, color is, what your ethnicity is, your religion, anything. You know, it's for everyone because this is our history, all of our history. And again, Afeni said it so beautifully. If you saw that Telfar Global, their Soho store, had that video of Chris Small saying, if you've seen this video, I have been captured by the IDF. And then Afeni comes in and bam, breaks down who Chris is. And that was in New York City, Telfar Global. We got to shout them out because
I'll send
it to you. But that is how you use a platform of 1.4 million followers. That's what you do when you're that big. And so Afeni talked about Black liberation will be the liberation of us all. And we don't disagree. So now is the time. Do your part. Liberatory Media is right here at WPFW. And Joni does a fantastic job every Monday morning, 800-222-9739. That pack is $150. Hopefully, Joni, when I come back to you, I'll have more folks to thank.
Thank you, Katia. And Katia, hopefully right now we're going to play two of the clips that I was able to do, and I don't have too many technical skills, but I think it got some of the spirit. We have Afeni, who Katia mentioned, and hopefully you'll hear her now. And also we have some of the chanting. So let's hear it roll.
Good afternoon. I'd like to introduce Afeni. We are standing here at JFK International Airport Terminal.
just welcomed Chris Smalls back home from the flotilla. And Afeni is amazing. So I want her to tell the story. Afeni, why were you insistent that you be here today?
Absolutely. I'm a board member of Chris's Labor Party, first and foremost. So we've done a lot of work together. We've known each other for about 4 years, maybe 5 years now. And I just really respect the activism that he's done. So I thought it was just really important for us to all show him that all over the country, all over the world, that we really appreciate his efforts, that we really love him and everybody that went on the Freedom Flotilla, and that we really do need to break the siege. There is a politically motivated, intentional starvation of Palestinian people. They are being bombed with U.S. bombs. They are being killed by U.S. mercenaries as well. And so we have direct involvement in this. So to take the responsibility to actually go across the sea, to actually try to break the siege, it's like a deeply, deeply courageous act, and we really, really appreciate him for that. So we wanted to make sure that we showed him some love today.
And explain the spirit of the crowd here today, and then I want you to do some of your chanting.
So the spirit of the crowd, I would say a lot of people that know Chris, a lot of Amazon workers are here, a lot of people that do the pro-Palestine movement was here, Chris's family was here, and we were just eagerly awaiting for him to come home safely. We're grateful that this brutal, brutal genocidal state didn't do anything worse to him than what they already did. We know that the abuse that he suffered was unconscionable and unimaginable. And so we're just really grateful to have him back. So yeah, just a lot of love, a lot of gratitude, a lot of beauty in the crowd. And we were super loud, had a great drum, had great drums.
Awesome. Some of your chanting and theme.
Absolutely. Can y'all chant with me real quick?
It's been 2 minutes, 7 seconds.
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free, free Palestine!
That gives you a little bit of the spirit, but you really needed to be there to see how powerful it was. Plus, there was such a mixture of people. Young folks were there. Older folks were there. People were there from all over the country. I've met a young lady who drove down from Detroit by herself and slept a little bit in the airport and was there. But Achille Achille and Larry, share with the listeners a little bit about that spirit with all the chanting and the drumming and the singing. It was quite something. Achille?
Yes, it was. And I think that added to the overall spirit and mood of the and jubilation, quite frankly,
yes.
of welcoming him back. And I'm glad I was there. I mean, it was a long flight there and back. But I'm glad I was there. Larry and I had some time to talk, and we reflected over the past 50 years about work that's been done. And certainly this, for me, is one of the significant and important things I'm glad I was a part of. And once again, I thought the spirit was great. I thought it was a jubilee. It was like welcoming a rock star. That's the thing that kept coming to my mind. But I also thought it was well-deserved. I thought he deserved it. I thought, you know, his work, both with the Amazon workers, but more importantly, his willingness to take a principled stand And by the way, thank you for recognizing Black August. This is the fourth day of Black August. It's study, fast, and fight. And we are very much engaged in it out here in Los Angeles. All of our protests, all of our engagements is centered around and connected to Black August. But one of the things that I'm glad this came back, and now we can add to Black August the release of Chris Smalls. But the other thing that I think that it did for me, and I think many of the people there, is it reminded us about why we needed to take a stance in support of Palestinians and support of the people of Gaza. It reminded his efforts, reminded us that there is a connection. And one of the things that I appreciate about Larry and I were talking, and I think somebody stuck a mic in our face, and so we were talking. But Larry talked about the history of Palestine. And Larry, I'm going to ask if you could repeat, because you went all the way back to Malcolm in 1964 of the relationship, and then just bringing it up to the more modern times. In 2014, as a matter of fact, that's one of the ways that Black Lives Matters, we got started. It was Palestinians that taught us what to do when they tear gassed us. They taught us to use milk, and they taught us how to rub it in our eyes, and they taught us, it was the Palestinians, brothers, who turned out. And they erected a Black Lives Matters edifice in Palestine. And so we've got a long history of connection and relationship with the people of Palestine. And I think what Chris did exemplifies that, exemplifies the political nature, but also the social and psychological relationship that we have to the people of Palestine. And Larry, would you just remind us about how long our relationship and history with Palestine is?
Well, our relationship and our history with Palestine, when you and I were talking, I mentioned Malcolm X, but it actually precedes Malcolm X, because remember, the state of Israel was created in 1948. It was created at a time when there was a worldwide anti-colonial struggle, including the anti-colonial struggle in what some people now refer to as Western Asia. Some people refer to as the Middle East. But there was an anti-colonial struggle, in all of those countries that had been occupied by Britain and France, there in the Middle East. So even before Malcolm, there were people like Paul Robeson who was speaking in support of the Arab people's struggle and the Palestinian people's struggle against colonialism. And then and we know the role that British colonialism played in particular in the creation of Israel. But yes, Brother Malcolm X, not only did Malcolm X speak in support of the Palestinian people, he actually went to Gaza. I actually saw a historical piece where he wrote an article in, I believe it was in an Egyptian newspaper, linking the struggles at home and abroad. And then after Malcolm X, there was the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. They took a stand. And in 1968, when I was a student at Arts High School in Newark, this is oh my God, this is almost 60 years ago. When I was a student at Arts High School, I had a friend in high school. He was a member of the Black Panther Party, and I can remember, him bringing copies of the Black Panther Party newspaper, and we would see the drawings in there. Holding up the anti-colonial struggles in Asia, Africa, and Latin America, and in particular, that of the Palestinian people and those of the Arab peoples. I was a delegate. I was the youngest delegate at the Gary Convention in 1972, the National Black Political Convention in 1972. I was there when the vote was taken, and it almost split the convention. I was there when the vote was taken. It was just a one paragraph platform plank to support self-determination for the Palestinian people. And it almost split the convention. Coleman Young led a walkout
of the Michigan delegation because the convention was supporting this particular struggle. And, you know, since then, all of our organizations, including my organization, People's Organization for Progress, throughout the years, you know, remember Jesse Jackson when he ran for president in 1984 and 1988. You know, he advocated human recognizing the human rights of Palestinian people, their right to statehood, you know, their right to self-determination. We have a long history, a long relationship. And it's unfortunate, you know, when I hear people, you know, in the community say, well, that don't have nothing to do with me. And that's over there. And, you know, no, we got to build these links. We have to build these international relationships, you know. The African-American liberation struggle in this country was in part pushed forward by the anti-colonial struggles and liberation struggles going on in Asia, Africa, and Latin America, and vice versa. Our liberation struggle here inspired their struggles abroad. So we have to continue, you know, to build this solidarity between ourselves, the Palestinian people, and all oppressed peoples abroad.
Absolutely. And I just like to say that everything you both talked about is are things that we talk about on WPFW constantly. So listeners are familiar and know some of this history. We know the history of Paul Robeson saying we charge genocide. What year was that? 1949? And also, I want to take credit for PFW's family members. Tom Porter, who was the program director here at WPFW in the 90s, he worked with Jesse Jackson and I'm sure influenced Jesse, I'll say this, influenced Jesse Jackson around his position on Palestine. SNCC is very, Student Nonviolent Coordinating Council, is definitely connected, strongly connected with us here on WPFW with Jory Ladner and much, much more. And we're going to go back in a moment to Katia, but I just wanted to share with the listeners, you know, Achille, Brother Achille said, you know, that Chris Smalls was like welcoming a rock star. But I want to give it a little bit more twist. I think there was, in a way, a deeper thing that was going on. Yes, he's charismatic, and we were very excited to welcome him home. But somehow he is able to give us more hope that we can defeat these fascists that are continuing the genocide. We have a lot of other people out there, but somehow Chris is able to kind of light, spark an energy in those of us who know him and those of us who will know him, that we can win this fight. We do not have to continue watching this genocide go on and on. So it wasn't just admiring somebody who's a star. It was giving us more hope for this movement that we can continue fighting and fighting to stop the genocide. So, Katia, I think you're probably back on.
And right here. And you're absolutely right, Joni. It's the most, I know for me, it's, and I know for many, it's the most hope we've had in a long time that we can actually defeat this blockade. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the next time, the next flotilla, and they said they're not stopping, the next flotilla is going to get even closer, and they might intercept that, but they can't intercept everyone. And that's why they say 1,000 boats all at once, because they can't intercept everyone. So we will break the siege, and the Palestinian people will be free. And I'm so proud of WPFW and your work, Joni, especially on WPFW, because you have lifted this up long before October 7th, ever since you've been on the air, you know, because we know 1948 is when this all began. So again, right now is your time to call and make that call, that pledge that makes all the difference in the world for To Heal DC. We still are in need of $540. The number to call, 800-222-9739. This is Black August. And again, we have a beautiful, beautiful package for you. Over 50 hours of African liberation history is really what we're talking about. African-American liberation history in this Black August Black Liberation Digipack. It is a downloadable gift. Make sure you give your email address when you pledge for it. It's $150, 800-222-9739. We ask you to be in solidarity with WPFW this morning. Be in solidarity with the great work that Joni Eisenberg does. And you can also become a sustaining member. We know times are tough. And Joni, you've covered this with so many federal workers losing their jobs. So we know times are tough, but you can become a sustaining member at the 10, 20, 100, 50, whatever fits your wallet and your heart. Do that right now. Become a sustaining member. We'll get all the credit today for Joni's show, and you can pay overtime. You know, and we will stop when you say stop, but we hope that you will never want to end your support of a radically different radio station in WPFW and Pacifica Radio and to heal DC. 800-222-9739, $540 to go. We can do this together, folks. Make Joni's goal. Let's exceed this goal, and let's do it not only for Tahil DC, but for all the voices she lifted up today, all those that were on that risking their lives, including Chris Smalls, who said, listen, I got to go because this is not the world that I want my children to inhabit. This is not the world that I want to leave them. So I have to be on that flotilla. And we all feel that way. We want to leave something that is just and right to our next generation. And Tahil DC is a part of that fight. And we are so honored to have Joni here doing this great work. So now is the time. 800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org, $540 to go. We can do this together, folks.
Yes, and you know, I know you. This happens to you, Katia. People stop me on the street. They stop me all, many different places. I don't even know who they are, but they say how much they love the station. And so this is the time, folks. This is a very serious time. We don't want to think of WPFW disappearing, but hey, you know, it could happen. We need your support to keep ourselves alive. We do have a caller calling in from Germany, Rick, and I'm going to ask Rick to jump on. We're not taking calls. We'll take the call from Rick. Rick, be real quick because we're almost out of time, but welcome. Thank you for calling from Germany. Maybe he's not on anymore. Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Yes. Real quickly.
I just want to ask, to the best of your knowledge, have the Israelis stopped the general bombing of Gaza?
Okay. So, I'll ask Akili to answer that. But whether they've stopped today or not, we know that they're going to continue to try to eradicate and kill the people in Gaza. So we have to keep on fighting. But Akili, what would you answer to that?
No, that they haven't. They are still bombing the people of Gaza. I think I saw read a report yesterday in the Washington Post where they killed 27 people and they killed 19 people who were standing in line trying to get food aid. So no, the genocide has not stopped. And this is a classic definition of genocide. I mean, the efforts that the Israeli government is engaged in is to eliminate, eradicate, and degradate the people of Palestine. That is a classic definition of genocide. They can deny it all they want, but the proof, the evidence is there. So no, they haven't stopped bombing, and no, we need to, and yes, rather, we need to keep up our support for God, the people of Gaza and Palestinians, and we need to, you know, stay in these streets and with free Palestine.
Absolutely. And we need to also do more than stay in the streets. We have to continue to build other tactics to stop the genocide. You know, many of us do remember Hitler. You know, of course, some people don't. But this is fascism. This is pretty similar to what Hitler was doing. And, you know, he's trying to eliminate the people of Gaza. And we have to do everything we can. And part of that is supporting WPFW. We have to think of new strategies. And I'm trying to think of things that Paul Robeson might have done or Amiri Baraka might have done or our own family members, Dory Ladner from SNCC. We have to continue to build the opposition to stop this genocide. Larry, you have anything else you want to share or comment on?
Yes. First of all, before I say anything else, let me urge the listening audience, PFW, to support it financially, to support it politically, and whatever other way there is to support this station. You see that the Trump administration has triggered the shutdown of the corporation
Yeah.
And they've gutted the financing of other agencies, media agencies. You know, we need PFW. We need the Pacifica Network. I'm up here in Jersey where we listen to WBAI. We need this now more than ever. You know what dictatorships do. As soon as they take over, first thing they do is they shut down the media. And then once they open the media back up, it's opened up under their control to perpetuate their narrative, their interpretation of reality. I mean, look at how Trump just fired the person from the Bureau, what was that, BLS, Bureau of Labor Statistics?
Labor Statistics,
right.
Yeah.
Right, because he didn't like the numbers, because the numbers show he's screwing up the economy. You know, I mean, this we are in real danger. People talk about incipient fascism, you know, or creeping fascism. As far as I'm concerned, we're in it.
We are in
fascism right now. And one of the essential part of the resistance is to be able to get out, you know, the message of the resistance. And WPFW does that. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, like my mother used to tell me, you don't miss your water till the well run dry. Don't wait till PFW is gone. Then be talking about, oh, if we had done this and if we had done that, that's too late. And remember, when these people get in power, they're hard to get out. That's why we got to fight with all we can out. When Franco came to power in Spain, he stayed in power until he died. He was in power for like 40 years. Mm. Trump is already talking about running for a third term. Everybody's laughing like it's a joke. And they're actually making the preparations for this. These people tell you what they're going to do before they do it. So, brothers and sisters, I tell you with the utmost seriousness, support this station. Raise this $500, and if you can, raise $500 more. But do whatever we can, because we need this station. It's an essential part of our resistance against Trump and fascism.
It certainly is. And
Joni, thank you. I was just see you right on time, Joni. And thank you, brother. You're absolutely right. And I also listen to BAI when I'm in New York supporting her.
Oh, I lost you. I don't hear.
Also, thank you to Anonymous out of D.C. and getting us closer. Oh, wait, one other Michelle out of D.C. Oh, that's probably our Michelle. Thank you, Michelle. We want to say 350 to go, y'all. 350 to go. Can we get three people getting that DigiPack $150 pledge of support? Over 50 hours of Black liberation history. That is what we're talking about. From scholars, from musicians, from poets, and of course, the Soledad brothers, George Jackson. We know the origins of the Black August. And if you don't know the origins of Black August, definitely worth getting this DigiPack. Donate it to a school, donate it to a library, you know, have a listening session with your friends to learn this history. It's so vitally important, and it connects to exactly what we're seeing in Palestine today, in the Congo, in Sudan, all around this country.
And in Washington, D.C.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, first and foremost. Absolutely.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. And you know, we think about getting this package for some young people. Some of us have been talking about, many of you know about Dr. Greg Carr, and he has worked with Freedom Schools in Philadelphia. We were talking about maybe we can bring back these Freedom Schools in Washington, D.C. and have some organized way of working with young people, teaching young people some of the history, and getting this special package would be a great way to do that. Katia, don't you think, to start Freedom Schools with young people playing some of these
that would
recordings?
Be amazing. Absolutely. yes, we should definitely do that, you know, because it is the next generation that is going to continue this fight, continue this struggle. And so they need the underpinnings of the history so they know what has come before. So this package is an excellent package. 150 to go. If we have three people doing this right now, we will be golden. $350, 800-222-9739. Make that call that makes the difference. Support to Heal DC. Support WPFW, truly liberatory media in the nation's capital.
And Katia, I think that listeners can also do what my friend Chuck Hicks calls putting it on layaway.
Yes, indeed.
but meaning putting, being a sustaining, doing
member.
A sustaining.
Yes. Yes.
So exactly. Tell our listeners how, if they don't remember how that can be done.
Absolutely. And you can do this with this package as well. $10, $20, $50, $100, whatever is in your budget to give. You can do that on a monthly basis. And we do that. We like to do it for a year or until you tell us to stop. There have been sustaining members that have been here forever. You know, they just let it roll because they understand the importance of supporting something like this monthly. You know, you have a cable bill, you have these other bills that you pay monthly for your entertainment. Here, you're paying monthly for education, and not just for yourself, Joni, as you know. Mm-hmm. It's for everyone right now, especially those that cannot afford the pledge right now, but who vitally need this information. So you can put it on layaway, $10, $20, $50, $100, and we still get the entire credit today. That's the beautiful thing. So Joni gets all the credit today, which will go towards her goal remaining, $350, and it's easier on your wallet.
Absolutely. And we know, listeners, you can do it. We've done way more than this in the past, so this is a time when we really need you. And some of you may know that WPFW, that Pacifica Radio, was included in the Trump People's Project 2025 document.
Yes.
And people don't know that Pacifica was actually mentioned, and we know that they're obviously thinking about us. So we need as much support and protection from the community right now more than ever. Right now, more than ever. We've done very well over the years on these pledge drives. We must.
Good afternoon. For WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Darnia Samuels. Here are some headlines for this hour. The House Oversight Committee has subpoenaed the Justice Department for complete files related to the Jeffrey Epstein sex trafficking investigation on or before August 19th. The committee is also requesting depositions from former President Bill Clinton, his wife, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, and 8 former senior law enforcement officials. Criminal charges were brought against Jeffrey Epstein for sexually abusing multiple underage girls with the help of his girlfriend and longtime associate, Ghislaine Maxwell, who recruited the girls for him. Epstein killed himself while in jail awaiting trial on sex trafficking charges in August 2019. During his life, Epstein was a known associate of public figures like President Trump and former President Clinton. Trump has denied any knowledge of Epstein's crimes and says he ended their relationship years ago. And Clinton has not been accused of wrongdoing by any of Epstein's accusers. Depositions for the Clintons are scheduled in October. Texas House Democrats are standing their ground as they pledge to fight fire with fire and remain outside the state in their efforts to block a Republican-favored redrawing of the congressional map of Texas. This redrawn map could potentially eliminate 5 Democratic U.S. House seats, thus providing the president with a major advantage in 2026. Texas House Speaker Dustin Burroughs said he signed civil arrest warrants for Democratic lawmakers who left the state, and Governor Greg Abbott ordered state officials to arrest them. But legal experts say the warrants likely cannot be enforced outside of state lines. The Texas House is scheduled to reconvene at 2 p.m. this afternoon after quickly adjourning yesterday when there weren't enough members of the assembly present to make their proceedings valid. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is meeting with his cabinet this week to discuss his desire for a complete military takeover of Gaza for the first time in 2 decades. Netanyahu has said, and I quote, "It is still necessary to complete the defeat of the enemy in Gaza, release our hostages, and ensure that Gaza never again constitutes a threat to Israel," adding that, quote, "we are not giving up on any of these missions," end quote. Despite his determination, military leaders and former officials warned that full occupation of Gaza could endanger lives, risk severe backlash, and isolate Israel diplomatically. So far, over 61,000 Palestinians have been killed, and widespread famine continues, as Gaza's health ministry said that 8 more people died of starvation or malnutrition in the past 24 hours, while another 79 people died in the latest Israeli attacks. In the D.C. area, the 42nd annual National Night Out is being held throughout the city today. On the first Tuesday of every August, most of the United States observes National Night Out, which is an event that aims to improve relationships.